So, just so we understand, I didn't formally put anything together impromptu sheer, but I wanted to speak out kind of where we are right now, specific to Tisha B'Av having this strange duality. We experience in Tol Chatzos this really weird state of what Rav Soloveitchik will explain, Meit Mutal Lufanav. It's this raw state of Avelus where we don't even say in Kaddish Tiskabel. Ki'ilu is as if we're saying God doesn't want to accept our tefillos. And it's actually an interesting machlokas within, I was telling your father, because if you don't have the article, Tishah B'Av Sefer, like, you know. So there, it brings down in the Avela Siddur that Rav Moshe Feinstein thought it was inappropriate that the base Avel. We have this problem, because Baruch Hashem, we should be zeicher to this problem, we don't know from Avelas, and therefore we make mistakes. I don't know who here, somebody said to me about this minhag on girls' campus to cover the mirrors. So there's I understand the confusion, because it is the closest that we have to Avelos. But sitting on the floor, the Sudas HaMafsekas that we normally do, it's very raw, and it's to get us into a state. And it's the saddest state of the year. From when Tisha B'Av starts until Chatzos is a very difficult time for us to have a concept. Yeah, on one hand, we like to say, well, we don't say Tachlon because it's Yontif. There is a Yontif aspect to the day. There is. But on the other hand, maybe it has to do with the fact that Rosh Hashanah doesn't want us to say Tachlon. He doesn't want that's supposed to be the most pure tefillos we have when we bow to the Rabbeinu Shalom and we say, V'anachna lo neda. So it's raw. It's difficult for us to fathom that there's a time of the year where God just says to us, just get away. Right? I think you all know, or I'll teach you a chinuch lesson, that as a parent, the worst thing you could say to your child is actually not saying to your child, I can't believe you did this, you disgraced our name, you're going to get this punishment and that punishment and that punishment and that punishment. It's when a parent says, you know what, I don't even want to deal with it, get away from me. Just get away from me. But wait up, get away from me. Oftentimes that's a better chinuch lesson when the kid says, oh my God, I really disgraced my parent. I wish I would work with the teens. It would be a great chinuch lesson to say to them, you know what, there's no punishment now. Just don't talk to them. They'd probably be happy. But that's kind of the feeling. And then all of a sudden, Chatzos comes in many, excuse me for saying this, but in many locations that actually have kinos until Chatzos, which is a chidush, they kind of like count it down. You know, like, they're like, they just plan perfectly, you know, to get up and then say, Leit Zion, and everybody getting up from their chairs. So what state are we in now? So now we have something strange, right? For those, I don't know if you daven mincha yet, but for those that daven mincha, so we said nachin. So we said a little bit yesterday that the tefillah of nachin is exactly as the word says, nachin. It's nechama. So Rav Soloveitchik has a beautiful piece where Rav Soloveitchik explains, and I think it will help us in understanding what we should be doing the rest of the day. Because it's not kinos. It's not. Kinos is over for many people, Baruch Hashem, so because it's hard. So Rav Soloveitchik asked an integral question. I won't get into as much of the halachic debate. It's a little bit too exciting, if you will. But if you think about the placement of Nachim, Nachim is actually placed, obviously, in Ubnei Yerushalayim. And Rav Soloveitchik asks, why is that? Why shouldn't it be placed, I would think, in Ritzeh? With all due respect to Yerushalayim, Ritzeh is the place that we say Yalav Yavo. Seemingly, that would make the most sense. So says Rav Soloveitchik, this is in the Harei Kedem, or Shorkin Sefer, and he says, "Tolei al masha misablin umipalim b'tishah." It depends on what we're davening for now. Ha'im ikar ha'avelot v'hatfilot heim al chorban ha'avoda hakadusha v'hakapar. Are we mourning the loss of something we don't understand, but an avelos of the korbanos that we have, of the chorban of not being able to have the koyin b'avados and leave the duchanim yisal b'mamda? Having the Talmud, the Ketoros, the Mizbeah. True, then it should be a pretzei. Eich, lefi minog ikar ha'avelos, v'tishabav, ki al chisaron ha'avoda, ki lo al chisaron ha'avoda, ela al chorban Yerushalayim ha'avoda. As we say in the tefillah, you'll notice of Nachem, there isn't a talk about losing the ketores, about losing the avoda, the korbanos. It's about losing Yerushalayim, ir ha'shomema, ir ha'bzuya. So says Rav Soloveitchik, the reason why it's in Boni Yerushalayim is the al-kavod asher gala b'eit chorban. One of the things that we mourn the most, as the Gemara tells us, is the lack of kavod shamayim in the world. The Gemara says the following. I think I have the Gemara here. I'll just quote it. So the Gemara says in Chagiga, Kasov, Echad Omer, Echad is Yishayahu. Yishayahu says, Sheish Kanafim, the Sheish Kanafim, that the Malachim, we don't have wings, right? We actually, this is a Goyish tradition that they make them with wings. It's true, they have wings. But according to the Gemara, Yishayahu says that he had six wings. The Kasov Acher, but in Yechesko it says, the Arbaponim, it has four wings. Which one is it? Lo Kasha, Kan Shubban Beis HaKadosh Kayim, Kan Shaloya Beis HaKadosh. Says the Gro, what's going on here? When the Beis HaMikdash was around, there were six wings. When the Beis HaMikdash wasn't around, there was four wings. What's going on? Says the Gro that the ultimate phrase of all Malachim is something that we're not really supposed to say. Anybody know what that is? It's a pasuk that we're not really supposed to say, and I'll prove it to you. We don't even really say it. Yeah. Very good. Every single morning we say Kriya Shema, and we say, you know, Shema Yisrael. And what's the greatest day of the year? We love it. No matter what we're up to in davening, oh baby, I love it. Right? Yom Kippur, we get to scream it out. Right? We love it. Because we're like Malachim. Right? We dress like them. We dress in all white, we're like Malachim. There's a custom, I don't recommend this custom, it's a very hard custom to have. Customer of Soloveitchik also. Have your feet together, at least for Shemona Esrei, at least the entire time, even by Chazor Zashah. Like Malachim. Comes along the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And that six-word line, Baruch Shein, Kibbol Machusol, Yolam Boed, six words, what did he take out for us? Baruch Shein, Kibbol Machusol. The Rebbeinu Shem Kibiyachol snipped those two wings, because there's no covered malchus in this world anymore. What does that mean? It's Chil Hashem. The world that we're in now, the ultimate destruction is a Chil Hashem. In modern day Hebrew, we said something that's called a Chalal. This is a very popular thing in Israel. I don't know why, because of the wonderful Ottoman government that Israel follows still old Turkish laws. So your house, when your house is built, you're only allowed a percentage of the land, whatever, it doesn't matter. But oftentimes when you build a house, they'll say like this. Okay, so now this wall over here, this wall, if you knock the wall down, there's a whole other room there. But it's illegal. It's called halal space. I can knock it down for you for 100,000 shekel if you want. But I'm not allowed to. You know. Halal means there's an open space. What's the open space? Hashem Shechina isn't the way that it should be. It's called a Chil Hashem. The moment that the Rebbeinu Shalom Shechina is 100% present, that's called the Beis HaMikdash. That's the time of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. And therefore, our lives are about being Mekadosh Shem Hashem, even in Walmart, right? When someone does something wrong and they look to the Jews, it's called a Chil Hashem, Chalal. You're keeping the mantra of no Beis HaMikdash. So says Rav Soloveitchik, that's what we're missing on this day, right? It's almost confusing. Because we think we're doing one thing. And so maybe Dafka says Rav Soloveitchik, maybe this is also something that we Dafka do after Mincha. V'im kein, mekomo shel nachem, hu bebirchas bonei Yerushalayim. And therefore, it makes sense that it's in bonei Yerushalayim. Because that talks about Binyan HaMikdash, not about the korbanos. And this is Rav Sajigon says the same thing. He goes, it's not a din me'inam oira, it's me'inam oira. Me'inam oira is yalav yalav. Right? The reason why, well, Salvich has a beautiful piece on this, the reason why I have to repeat Shimon Esrei if I forget the me'inam oira, it's like you forgot. And the etzim, the day is. Right? It's like, you have to mention what the day is. So says Rav Salvechik, that's the main of Ora. Din haskara shall mehein ha ma'ora ela b'yom sheyesh bo kedusha the korban. There's no korbanos on this day. It's different. Kiyum shall nichum aveila. Since this is a nichum aveila, ki ein hatfila ha'mokom yinachem eskem. We know that there's a halacha, and halacha is that when a person is sitting shiva, Rachman Litzlan, Halacha says that you're not yotze, your shiva call, unless you actually go up to them and say the words, Hamalka Minachem Eskem, Mishosh Shalvei Yishim Shalvei. Right? There's a fascinating story about Rav Salavitcher. That after Shir one day, he went to one of his Talmidim, he says, can you drive me to Farakal? He says, of course, Rebbe, where do you want to go? And he says to him, I want to go to this Abel's house. And he says, with all due respect, you're Rav Salavitcher, there's some guy sitting shiva for his father who died. No. I will always remember some specific thing that he did for me. I want to show kavod. He gave me nechama. He said, when my, I don't know if it was wife or his father, that whatever it was. He goes to Farakwa. You can imagine the sight of Rav Salavitcher walking in. This guy's shocked. You may also know that the halacha is that the avel has to talk first, the person. Really, the halacha is that we're not supposed to talk in the shiva house. Because maybe the avel's not ready to talk until the avel talks. So it doesn't necessarily mean he has to talk to you. There's a lot of people there. But the fact that he's talking about whatever. So this guy was nervous like anything. He didn't want to talk until Rav Salavitcher spoke. He forgot the halacha. So you can imagine the standoff. Nobody's talking the whole time. This is going on for 20 minutes. No. Rav Salavitcher, oh yeah, time to go. Salavitcher stands up and he walks out. And he can say nothing but, Hamakom Yinachem. And says Rav Salavitcher, and I think this relates to their piece, says, do you ever think about why we say the words Hamakom Yinachem Eskem? Full strange. Hamakom, the place? Why do we say Hashem Yinachem Eskem? Or, okay, you want to say the God of judgment, Elkim Yinachem Eskem. Hamakom? Because with Salvechik, what a strange term. He says, I'll tell you why. Many times, at the loss of a loved one, we question God. Totally mutter. Our religion is very into questions. People make the mistake and say, ooh, what are you asking so many questions? It's normally the person who says, don't ask so many questions because I don't know the answers. Right? A good qualified rabbi will be like, I don't know that answer, but I could look it up. Instead of saying, don't ask any more questions. That turns people off to religion. There are certain times where you're allowed to question God. So much so, you have a strangest halacha, which we just experienced on Tisha B'Av. Not to the level, but an avil, when they're in animus, before the body is buried, they're not allowed to say brachas. They're not allowed to put tefillin on. They're not allowed to do anything. Asher yatzer, nothing. Why? Because there's a concept that Rabbanu Shalom realizes that he's mad. I'm mad. It may not be at Hashem. It may be at I'm mad at myself. But I'm in this horrible state. Should have seen my parents more. I should have been greater to my parents. Whatever it might be. It's called make mutov lefan. It's similar to today. It's an unbelievable thought that obviously Tisha B'Av is only midirabanan. Certainly today, it's not even a midirabanan, it's a minhag because we're in the 10th of Av. The Torah tells us you have to put tefillin on. And the rabbis say, no, not today. We say, well, wait a minute. Tisha B'Av was first of all yesterday. I'm like, how can you? No tefillin until after midirabanan. Why? Because it's a different state that we're in now. Of salvation said it's okay for you, the avil, to call God Hamakom. I don't get you, God. And guess what? You know why? Hamakom Yinachem Eschem Besoch Shavei Yisum Yushalayim. The only thing I can compare it to is Yushalayim. Because I feel the same way. And maybe a little bit, I'm sorry to say this as a little bit of gaiver, but maybe you feel the same way I feel. I try. Especially after, you know, you went to Israel for the year, and now you're like so super firm, firmer than God. And like you feel like, okay, like I know how I was, you know, excuse me for saying, I know how I was when I was a teen here. I know, okay, it was a joke. Even Rav Hartstein getting up and speaking before, it didn't help me. I spoke in the Kobe, a Kobe guy came up to me, like almost in tears in his eyes. He says, Rebbe, you spoke very beautifully, but with all due respect, Kino still doesn't mean anything to me. I said to him, guess what? It doesn't mean anything to me either. It's very hard. There's a few Kinos that speak to me. But most of them, I understand what you're saying. But let's say you got it. And you spend your entire afternoon, and you're not watching Schindler's List and all these videos that don't relate to the Korban really. You kind of look up at Hashem and you kind of say, what? Sorry for the chutzpah, the gaiva, but I tried. I really did what I was supposed to. I did everything. For 3 weeks, I've been in mourning. For 9 days, I've been in mourning. I did everything that you said. So where is Mashiach? We said this morning that any door that, right, it's like you destroy. It's nice to say, but I actually think I did something. So we are able to say Hamak. Because we're kind of out of a state where we say to Hashem, like, yes, there's always more that we can do. The same person that maybe, which is a big level to cry over Yerushalayim, who actually may have shed a tear for Yerushalayim, that same person, on the same day of Tisha B'Av, I hope not, but maybe Motzei Tisha B'Av, may start speaking to Lashon Hara about another person. Even about Tisha B'Av itself. By the way, did you see so-and-so in the corner? Yeah, sure. They mourn Yerushalayim. Look at the skirt she was wearing. She mourns Yerushalayim. God's crying over her. You're like, whatever. Just giving examples that don't apply. The clamp at all. We have to recognize that we're missing, that the first level is I'm missing something. I'm missing that relationship. Well, salvation continues. It's a key of Nicham Avin. Lachain, Borchim, we say this, Shashachal B'yosei Ka'olu Zechorin Habayis Nisra. When do we actually say it? After Chatzos. The time of Beis HaMikdash was actually started to be burned. Right? As we know, on a normal year, Chatzos is that time. And of course, that difficult understanding. If Chatzos is the worst possible time of Tisha B'Av, it's when the Beis HaMikdash started to, I would think, to say the problem. From the night until Chatzos, actually isn't so bad. Beis HaMikdash didn't burn. Why if Chatzos dafka does it become worse? It becomes better, doesn't it? Why? So also Rav Soloveitchik says, we say the words Mizmor L'Dover, and Hashem destroy the base language. Says what salvation, a mismo ladava. Kino ladava. What's a mismore? A descent, a song. Boy goyim, right? The goyim came and they were timus hechalo. Right? It's not salvation before, it was a kino ladava. Something amazing happened at Chatzos. When the Rabbeinu Shalom took it out on 18 Be'avana, when he burnt the physical building, the Jews had a sigh of relief. Because they thought that they would be destroyed forever and ever. There would be no Jews in the world ever. Because they knew they deserved it. But when they saw the Beis HaMikdash burning, they said, oh, wow, okay, this isn't as bad as we thought it was. The fact that we have no Beis HaMikdash is a bit of a chum, because it reminds us of the fact that God didn't take it out on us as Jewish people. But yes, look what we've gone through. We've gone through the most difficult of times in our lives. What we could relate to, of course, in the Kinos, many things we just don't understand because we didn't. I wasn't around in 1492, so I can't tell you about the Crusades. I wasn't around the Holocaust, but I understand the Holocaust because I could speak to someone like my grandmother who told me about her two sisters that were killed in the Holocaust. I can understand because I could see, hear eyewitness accounts. I'm able to go there and see destruction. But also understand that within our own lives there's destruction. Try what I'm trying to get out today is this idea. We all have personal tragedy. Sometimes we're clouded, especially those that are zeichet to live in Eretz Yisrael. So you're clouded with how good things are. We said that Rav Gorin, right after 1967, was in a state of euphoria. And he's like, this is it. I can tell you, I remember my parents told me, my parents had this chus, they got married in 1967. And they were the first flight that landed in Israel after the war. There was many, we think that it was a 6-day war and everything was, after that was like amazing. There was bombing and a lot of things happened after that. It wasn't until July that the first planes, my parents were the first plane, American plane that landed. Can you imagine that sight? Can you imagine growing up? It's hard, you can't imagine. Your whole life without even thinking. I didn't have a picture of what the Kotel looked like. And be able to go to the Kotel, it's like, wow. My parents said that during the 6-day war, every firm person had their radios on. I said, why? Because we cared about the people. He says, yeah, but also because we thought they were going to announce Mashiach. Like, can you imagine living in a time? But you're really living in that time now. But sometimes you get spoiled with that time. Sometimes you get spoiled. Because when you live in that time of Misa Vidaflos, you kind of forget the Yerushalayim part. You forget the bzuya of the fact that there are still, I'm sorry, this came up in the news this morning. I don't know why I caught it. I was trying to see Nebuch, what's going on in Eretz Yisrael now. I'll just give you an example, which maybe you don't relate to. It's been bothering me all day, and I try to read stories that relate to the 9 days, to relate to the Chorban HaBayis. The story makes no sense to me how this is possible in modern days. There is a horrible terrorist, Yimach Shimon, who's sitting in jail. And it just came out this morning in a report that there was a female police officer who had been raped at least 3 times by this terrorist. With the help of other Israeli prison guards who threatened her. And if you remember when the Fogel family was killed, he said, I told my people to go into that community, which was her community, to kill your parents, and they made a mistake. So if you don't listen to me, next time it's your parents. Can you imagine that we still live, oh, Israel, it's ours, Israel, oh, we're in charge, right? Where the terrorists are overrunning the jail system by being able to rape a Jewish woman? Ain't bizoyim gadol mizeh? Soloveitchik says, that's what we have to keep in mind. Yes, 100%. So much so that at Mincha already we start to say the words Teskabel Shloson, there's tefillah that's answered. We have to look at the positive side. That's true. There's a duality of the day that's very difficult for us to understand. Shenikra Mayim on one hand. And now we're back sitting on the chairs and now it doesn't feel as raw as it did at night and the morning. What am I lacking? I think that the number one thing that we're lacking is a relationship. It's the relationship that we should have with the Rabbeinu Shalom as our father. And this is something that I think we can relate to the most out of anything else. Like as I said, I can't relate to what happened in the Crusades and in mimes and worms and the Torahs being burned. It's hard to relate to them. I can read the stories, I can understand them. I can relate to that I lack a connection with Hashem that I should have. Those that I'll expound upon a story that I told already. So every year I have this chus of going on a trip with Charlie Harari, name drop, and my friend Charlie Harari, name drop. And it's part of an organization called Momentum where we bring a few hundred men to Eretz Yisrael I've never been. And it's amazing. Thank God that my wife literally forced me to go on the trip. I didn't want to go because Charlie and Serena were very good friends in high school, not anything other. And I hate anybody who ever spoke to my wife before. Men, not women. It's Charlie Harari. And it's an amazing inspiration. Let me tell you one of the inspiring moments. We purposely, the trip is very well scheduled. We spend the first day in Spa, the second day in Schleinman. The third day, they go to the Old City. Mostly all of them have never been to the Kotel before. If they have, it's been a very strange trip for them because they don't really know what the Kotel is. And we're in Eishat Torah. I don't have to tell you if you've been there. Gorgeous. And Charlie has a discussion. Charlie tells a story that he was a professor and he did a project. And the project was, he says, I want you to write a letter to someone special. And this became very popular, like NCSY does this. And then they pick up the phone, you have to call the person, and everybody in the room goes, call that person, call that person. And they all start writing letters. They don't know what's about to happen now, right? He's going to pick on somebody and they're going to call that person. So he says in front of the whole, 100 people, and he says, okay, who wants to read me their letter? And if you're a good teacher, you see right away the person that's sitting there going, right? Like I used to do when I was in school. Who wants to read the next paragraph? No. Daniel Hartstein? And I'll be like, the ball, okay, fine. So he calls on this kid. He's like, I'm good, I don't want to go. No. What do you accept? And he reads his heartfelt, beautiful letter to his dad. To your dad. I wish we spent more time together. I love you so much. I caused you such pain. I'm so sorry. I wish we could spend more time together. A whole beautiful thing. Really great. And he looks at him and he says, call your dad. Call your dad. Now, he didn't realize by saying the words call your dad, it would start a chant of 100 people saying, he's like, no, I don't want to call my dad. He's like, he gets it. Charlie's like, he doesn't want to call his dad because, the relationship's not always that good. So call your, and they're going crazy. And he can't take it anymore. He's like, I can't call my father because he's dead. He died 6 months ago. This is a letter I would have wanted to have written 6 months ago. Things changed a bit in that classroom. So Charlie says, you all are sitting here, we're talking about 200-300 people, and you all are thinking in your mind the same thing. Dad, God. God equals he hates me. Because I'm not religious. If I'm lucky, I go to temple once a year, twice a year maybe. I know I'm not perfect. I'm not a good Jew. So now I'm going to walk through this wall. I don't know why they call it the wailing wall, because people cry there. But God hates me, so what's the point? I said, if God hates you so much, why at the highest moment of our tshuva do we say the words, Avinu Malkeinu? First is your dad, then he's the king. Changes things a little bit, doesn't it? What we're missing on Tisha B'Av is Avinu. Is a relationship of a dad. As we said before, is that hug, that relationship of, and we all know this issue of the relationship, because in all of our avodas Hashem, we have those times where it just is not working out. And that's the Ribbono Shel Olam not being with you the way that he should be. Because of the lack of Kavod Shamayim in this world. Maybe it's more apparent in a guy who wakes up in the morning and it's a perfect storm, if you will. It's raining outside. It's his day off in camp. Nobody's going to know if he doesn't show up to shul. Literally, the Ribbono Shel Olam is, he can hear the thunder saying, stay in bed. Like, come on, man, this is it. I'm off of it. It's because he didn't wake up in the morning and felt that hug in the morning. I always remember, I had the great schus of meeting the Franco family, the three boys, Nebuchadnezzar, kidnapped and murdered. Racheli Frankel tells the story. For 18 days, she said, I literally woke up in the morning and felt like Klal Yisrael was hugging. I can't explain it, and I have to tell you, living in Israel during that summer, I can't explain it to you either. You would walk into a supermarket, everybody in the supermarket was sad. There was no music. There's no music on, you couldn't get find the radio station on music. Everybody was just in this. We don't feel that old. So he said, we're going to go down to the Kotel now. And nobody's going to talk. From the moment we leave Eish HaTorah till we get to the Kotel, you're not going to say a word. And I know it's going to be hard because you're going to go to the Kotel. What's the first thing going to happen? The Chabad people, want to put tefillin on? Want to tefillin? Ignore them. Go right up to the wall. Put your hand on the wall and say two words. Hi, Dad. So we all go downstairs. Again, 300 non-religious people, 50 years old. We start walking. And all of a sudden, as the Kotel approaches and they see it, I can't explain this to you. They start going like this. Bawling, crying. Especially when they reach the wall and they put their hand on the wall and they say, hi, Dad, and they talk to the Rosh Hashanah, maybe for the first time in their life. Now, you can't tell me it's because of how beautiful the Kotel is. You know, it's got the spirit here. You know, it's got all the grass coming out of it. It's not that. And now explain something else, maybe embarrassing. I started hysterically crying, too. Do you know why I'm crying? It's not what you think. I'm crying because I'm not crying. Famous story, of course, the poem of the paratrooper that goes to the Kotel in 1967, and the religious soldiers that are there are hysterically crying that they got back to Yerushalayim. And he writes, "Ani boche she'ani lo boche." I'm crying because I don't know what's going on here. And I wonder, as a religious Jew who has the schus of traveling to the Kotel in 45 minutes, why I hardly ever go to the Kotel, and how it was possible that I was in Yeshiva HaKotel, and when my friends would be like, you're so lucky, let's go to the Kotel every day, and I said, nah, I haven't been there in a month. Yes, I'm not Rav Nemetzal, and I can't look out, as he did every night, exactly at Chatzos at the Kotel and start bawling. I'm not saying that. Can you explain to me why this person was crying? And oftentimes, when we're standing by the Kotel, not bothering them, they'll come up to us, the religious people who they don't even know, they don't know that, I specifically don't tell them that I'm a rabbi, because I don't want them, you know. And they'll come up to me and be like, Daniel, what, I can't, and they're bawling. And it's amazing to see, especially like the Russians. The Russians are very, wow. It's like you cannot get through to these Russians, right? And they're like, oh, I will not do anything, no, no, no. And all of a sudden they're bawling. They got the tattoos and the whole thing, and they say, I don't know why I'm crying. So the only thing I can explain to them is I said, you're having a Shechina experience. The divine is within inside of all of us. Have you ever been at a wedding? Strange. You're at a wedding and you're watching the chuppah. You ladies are probably really into this. While the guys are just talking, like, this is so boring. You're like, oh my God, this is amazing. She looks so beautiful. And she looks at her, and you're looking at the chuppah like crazy. And then you see the mom of the kala. And she's bawling. She's crying. You know why she's crying? She's crying because she's like, I can't believe my daughter's marrying this loser. Right? Is that why? Because the chassan's a loser? I can't believe it. He went to fill in the blank yeshiva. I can't believe it. I thought he would go to fill in the blank yeshiva. That's not why. My friend says that when we cry, not when we fall on the floor, but when we cry out of emotion at the height of our simcha, it's the Shekhinah talking to us. You see, the Shekhinah is inside of everyone, but unfortunately, it doesn't always get to come out and play because we don't let it, because we dirty the Shekhinah. Our neshamas. The reason why we do Salach Lanu, says the Shla, right? Not like the Shana Aleph guy coming back from Yeshiva and walks into a shul and says, here we go, batter up. Slaw, slaw, noob. You know, he's like, I went to DRS, so I got to do a lot of tshuva. No. It's like this. It's a wake-up call. We're waking. It's kibbiyachah. You say, hey, Michelle, please come out.
please overtake my body. That's what the tefillah is for. Nachem is, we're in a bizuya state. Hashem, please. Rav Dessler tells the story of what does it mean that the Shekhinah is not with us the way it should be? What does it mean, Baruch Shem Kivot, Kivot Malchus Sozak? He says, imagine this, right? Take one of the classic camp windows, right? And we try everything, one of my hardest things in camp, especially coming from Israel, Trisim, is waking up every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning to the sun going up, and no matter what blackout, you know how it is. Imagine though, the whole summer, it's raining and it's dirty, and now the window becomes more and more dirty. And you wake up one morning, and it's cloudy, like, and you look outside, you go, oh my God, it is gonna be a horrible day. It's gonna rain, it's gonna be terrible. And your friend's like, look, opens the door, and it's sunny like anything. I said, no. It's the clouded mirror. It just needs Windex. That's us. The Shekhinah is around. You can experience the Shekhinah, but not if you have a clouded window. No, you can't. Those people are crying because they finally got it. They didn't get it necessarily physically. Their neshamas say, I can't take it anymore. I need to come out. For the first time in their life, they talk to their Rebbe. And I often practice this when I go to the Kotel again and again and say the words, Hey Dad. I start my tefillah with, because that's the level that we're supposed to see the Rebbe Shalom. It's a heightened level, but it's what we're missing on Tisha B'Av. And maybe that's why when we speak again, because we spoke out yesterday about Nachem itself, but the reason why Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Avad Yosef and many others were against changing the Nusach is because I don't want you to not understand what's going on over here. Yes, if you're like me, I believe that the state of Israel is the birth pains of Mashiach. The amount of Torah that's being learned in Eretz Yisrael pales in comparison to any time in Jewish history. It's not a joke. Any time in Jewish history. I'll be happy to argue with you by Yisrael, maybe. Pales in comparison. You can say whatever you want. It's difficult. Israelis are Israelis. And the lack of Torah and the lack of... I was shocked this morning. And I woke up this morning to the news, Israeli news, trying to follow what's going on. So they were live from the beaches of Tel Aviv. And the lady says, are people scared to go out? Because Tel Aviv had sirens. They just had sirens a few minutes ago. Are they scared? I couldn't believe what he said. He said, lo. Zebeglat tisha b'av hayom. I was shocked by this. I don't know, maybe he wasn't a firm guy. He said that Tisha B'Av, there's a general respect level in Israel. People know what it is. Like, how many people know that it's Tisha B'Av that are not religious? Probably nobody. Jews in America that aren't affiliated, probably never heard of it before. One of the camps that we cater is not a religious camp. So it's very hard to try to explain to them what the 9 days were. And that we're not allowed to, under OU policy, serve them meat. And they're like, oh, it's okay. We don't have any religious people here. Like, no, we can't. Sorry. But, so there is that positive aspect. But on the other side, of course, there's us recognizing that we need more. So what can we do? So it's interesting that we read in the Haftorah, of all Haftorahs that we choose, Alma of the heart, you would think that when Yirmiyahu tells us why did we lose Eretz Yisrael, it would be all the things that you all know. Since Hinam, the big three. The Gemara elaborates, even though the Torah, the Navi tells us what, why. Alma of the heart, ze, davar ze nishal l'chacham l'levim. And you know what the answer was?
Al Azam is Torah, says the Pasuk. The Gemara, Shal Dircha Batara Tzvila. The Ran has a big problem with this. Because he says it's Sheker. It's not true. The Ran says, I'm sorry, but in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, they were learning Torah. Yadua mi'emek halei, shelo hayu mevarchim batara tchila kolomar, shelo hayta Torah chashuva be'im. It wasn't that they didn't actually say Birchas HaTorah. They did in the morning. Excuse me for saying. Sometimes we do this also. I know I'm on the way to shul and I want to do my lessons from the lake. So I'm like, oh shoot, I have to say Birchas HaTorah. So as I'm walking, I'm like, oh, that's not Birchas HaTorah. But here's what's shocking. The Machane Ephraim, who was, I don't know, something of the Baal Shem Tov's great-grandson, I don't know, grandson, quotes, he calls him my grandfather, I'm not sure if that's really physically his grandfather, and he says like this, you know what the Gemara means? She says, Zman HaChorban Lo Birchu Birchus V'Harev. You know what bracha they didn't say? V'Harev. What does the word V'Harev now mean? What does it mean? We say every morning, V'Harev now Hashem Elokeinu Tetzein Nitzamcha Beis Yisrael Kulanu Yodei Shemam. To make the Torah sweet, we beg the Rebbeinu Shalom every morning, God, give us the Torah, but it should be sweet. Rav Asher Weiss famously says that he went to his Rebbe, the Klusenberg Rebbe, when he was relatively young, and he says, I don't understand something. We have something that's called Klali HaBrachos, the rules of brachos. General rule of bracha is that one request per bracha. This request is, the Torah should be sweet, and my children, my children's children should love Torah. Two requests. So he says, why do you think? So Rav Asher Weiss said, hi, you're the Klusenberg Rebbe, why don't you tell me? He's like, no, I don't know. So Rav Asher Weiss told him this pshat, and this is like taking him everywhere, this pshat. He says this all the time. You want your children, your children's children, to love Torah? I'll give you the recipe for that. The Harevna. The Torah should be sweet. Not just the Torah, the mitzvah should be sweet. You want to live a household, you want to find a shidduch, I'll tell you right now, number one thing. Not looks. It's important looks, but not looks, not number one. Right? Not how much money he has. Not what his profession is. Not if he's never gone to campus or... Like, these are not also important things. Do you see the Baharev? Do you see that there's a beauty in his learning of Torah? Anybody can learn Torah. Do you see that in his mitzvahs is something... I'll tell you a great story. I forgot this week was the first week I didn't tell a story about number 24. I apologize. So, we had a horrible, horrible first date, Serena. I had no idea why she gave me a second chance. Terrible. Why? Because I'm an idiot. True. I had been dating a lot of girls, and I went to Israel. So a little bit more information you need to know, but these girls like these stories about how I met Meshulach. And I was dating a girl at the time. Wonderful girl. I mean, not wonderful, sorry. I ended up marrying her. And Rabina, I don't know if you ever heard of him before. So he was insistent that I go for a bracha to Rabbi Rafal Levine. You're going to love this story. Serena's probably not going to like this one. But Rabbi Rafal Levine, as you know, is the son of the great Rabbi Arya Levine, the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim. And Rav Farah Levine himself was a very, very special, unique individual, very holy. He used to daven for you. He had in his house, it's crazy, the mezuzah of the Gra, the Vilna Gaon's mezuzah used to daven by. So I went to his house, and we were joking a little bit because it was Chol HaMoed, and he doesn't write on Chol HaMoed, and he said, like, he does this heebie-jeebie thing where he writes your name and her name, and Eish Mayim, I don't know, I'm not really into this, but I went there for that. He said, it's Pekuach Nefesh, so I'm going to do it for you because, you know, you're really anxious about this girl. So we go back and forth, and he does it. And it seems like, according to what I understood from what he wrote, it would work out, and he doesn't say anything about that. And he starts to give me this whole lumdish of our Torah, Malbim, basically telling me I shouldn't be so picky. And when a girl is, you have to understand the way it used to be back in the day before whatever you people are on these days. But you can get in 2 seconds a picture of what the guy looks like, right? Am I wrong? usually, unfortunately for the guy, he gets a picture of the girl, and then he meets her, and he's like, hi, who are you? You look nothing like that, you know what I mean? Sometimes you're like, ah, you know. So I said, okay, that's weird. And I left, and I was very upset. He didn't address the girl I was going out with. Tells me I shouldn't be picked yet. And then I came home. I was in Eretz Yisrael at the time. Rosh Hashem, why you started a month after the Chagim, so we had a learning program in Shiva Akutah. And I came home, and the girl, like, 5 minutes, she dumped me. She's like, we weren't really going out. Like, we were dating, but we were in Israel for a month. I called her twice. And I'm like, oh, wow. And I'm like, oh my God, we're Paul Levine. I need to go out with every girl in the world now. This is it. I don't care. People would call me. I was like, don't tell me about the girl. I don't care. I don't care. I'm going out with her. I don't care. So I think it was 2 weeks. I went out with four girls. Serena was number five. And one was worse than the other. I mean, terrible. So when Serena was recommended to me, I knew it wasn't Shaya, because she had so many things that wouldn't go, like, terrible resume, terrible. She went to this place called Machon Gold, which was, like, totally not religious, in my book. And I wanted to marry Michal Agrel, because I was so firm. And she lived in Staten Island, coming from the five towns. It's like Usser and Mamish. The smell of it is $21 to go over the bridge. So I just wanted to get through the date already. So I just wanted to find out why she wasn't shy. And then I met her, and I'm like, she's pretty, okay, this is good. And we were having fun together, and I was like, oh, shoot. I was grilling her. It was the worst date ever. Do you want to have a TV in your house? Do you want to meet your child? What do you want to do for a life? And she's like, whoa, calm down, dude, calm down. But she said the reason why I got a second date was because of the following thing. When we were ready to bench, I said, if you don't mind, I would like to give it to Bar Torah. She's like, okay. I said, what's so surprising about that? I said, we're Jewish. We're eating together. We give it to Bar Torah. It's like, whatever. And she said, it showed me a little something sweet about Torah. That it meant a lot to you, and then unfortunately for her, for the next 24 years, we will never had a meal that we didn't speak Torah. Or Hashem, every Thursday, I was supposed to going out with Serena for lunch or something like that. So she knows. She's like, new? Sometimes I give her a bad mood. She's like, new, you have to write. I'm like, no, you have to write, let's go. Says to Moshe Weiss, it's that sweetness of Torah that the people didn't have at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And I think that actually is a tikkun, something practical we can take out of here. And this is not, and I mean this in the most respectful way. But oftentimes, it becomes like, I don't know why, it becomes like a guy thing. It should be a shir for guys. No. You can have machlekes here, you have a, what chelik in the Torah do you have? It doesn't matter. You have a chiyuv of a beer for the Torah in the morning. You have a chiyuv to make the Torah sweet, to love Torah, to love mitzvahs. I'll be honest with you, more than men many times, you'll be the one, right, what do we say? Al titosh Torah imecha. Because your children are going to learn from you, not so much from the father who's never home. It's funny because I wanted to marry Serena right away. Back to Serena. After the first date, I really liked her. I mean, this was never, ever. Every time when I would come home, 24 girls, I said to, 23 girls, I said to my parents, they're like, oh, you went out with so-and-so, how's it going? And I'd be like, I don't know. She's nice, she's pretty, she's like, but you know, she's, her hands are too big, you know. She's got one toe that's bigger than, I don't know, whatever. My parents are like, wow, that's okay. And we went out Monday, Thursday, and then Shabbos I came home, and my parents, I remember, were going to Israel that, Amotzi Shabbos. And my mom's taking the soup out, and she's like, usual, how was your date this week? I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to marry her. My mother dropped the soup. She's like, oh my God, a chasen. I'm like, whoa, it's 2 days, calm down. Unfortunately, Serena took a little longer than I did. And a few weeks into it, she'll tell you this if you ask her, she said what changed her, and I promise you this was not made up. She said that I was babysitting my nephew, my two nephews, and she came to see me. And when she knocked on the door, I said, I'm so sorry, I'm just about to put the kids to sleep. And it sounds like I made this up, but like I did it on purpose. So she was waiting for me to put the kids to sleep, and all of a sudden she hears me say to them, okay, any Jewish kid who goes to sleep, what do they have to do? Let's go. Shema Yisrael. I'm just like, oh my God, that's my husband, totally, oh my God. Amalacha. But it was the sweetness of it. It was what she wanted and I wanted. And realizing that, yeah, that's really important. For a child to have midos, a child to be mechal Hashem. It happens to be, I grew up in a family where chil Hashem, my father said one word to us, it was worse than any curse word you could ever hear. My father looked at you and said the word chil. It's a chil Hashem, what are you doing? Will you stop? Says Rav Asher Weiss, the tikkun of today is the sweetness of Torah mitzvahs. You want to have a closer relationship to the Rabbanu Shalom? That's what you need. You want to be a Makadosh Shem Hashem? That's what we need. And finally, yes, it comes with something very interesting. Rav Asher Weiss points out that the famous Nevuah that we all know very well tells us that Soma Revi, Soma Chamishi, Tiya L'Sasson L'Simcha, right? We all know this. But then it quotes the Pasuk, Ve'emes Ve'ashalom Avo, that what will come to play? Emes and Shalom. Says Rav Asher Weiss, there's a direct connection between the tefillah that these fast days will become Mo'adim and Shalom. He says, we often think that Shalom, Ahavas Chinam, the Tikkun Basinas Chinam, comes from us hating somebody so much not like us. Listen, what do you want me to do? This guy's Machal Shabbos and Farhesya, this guy's that. No, he says. It's the fact that we hate our own kind so much. We don't have to go much farther in seeing this ridiculous nature of like one bunk against another bunk. Right? I don't know if you have this with seminaries as much, but I see it in the Kobe Cola. Nevs against the Tivaria guys. Oh. Satmar Hasidim have two sects. Marzalman Ramoshis. Fighting. Panovich Yeshiva. Which side are you on? Throwing stuff at each other. The Gera Hasidim fighting. Which rabbi do you believe in? We're like this. Oh, you live in the Five Towns? A Woodbury? Oh, you dabble in the Young Israel? Holy smokes. Holy roller. The tikkun, says Rav Asher Weiss, actually comes from the people who followed the Torah. The tzaddikim were fighting with each other. You know, the famous story of Kamsa, Rabar Kamsa, is strange, because what does it say? That Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So, Rabbi Meir of Aaron Salvechik asks, no, it wasn't. If you want to kind of debate something that was destroyed, it was because of the Baal HaBayis. Kamsa and Kamsa may not even know each other. He says something remarkable. When the party was happening, and Kamsa was righted over Bar Kamsa, right? I don't remember what. Was providing the word. Why didn't Bar Kamsa say anything? Both of them could have said something, first of all. But certainly the one that wasn't invited knew that this was his best friend. He should have said, wait a minute, there must have been something wrong here. I once had this with our son's bar mitzvah. We dropped the word cheap. We dropped off the invitations instead of putting in the mail, because the mail in Israel takes a month. So we dropped it off in people's boxes. And it was weird. One of our friends didn't respond at all. Whatever, we didn't get the chance to. And a month later, they WhatsApp Serena and she said, I have to apologize to you. We were so upset that you didn't invite us to the bar mitzvah. And then we checked our mailbox. You see, we have a mailbox in front of our house, but the mail is delivered to the one across the street in like a P.O. box. We never check that mail. And we're sitting there. Serena's like, actually, 2 weeks after the bar mitzvah, we put it in there. We forgot to invite her. When you see something, you have to say something. You see two people fighting, you stop the fight. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because the person who didn't say anything, not the two people who were fighting. That we don't do a pula, we're not those people that come out and say, hey, I want to be somebody. So let's just review what we can go to sleep. Rav Soloveitchik tells us that the time that we're in right now, right after Mincha, until the fast is over, is a time of Nechama. It's a time of Tefillah. In fact, it's a time of Tshuva, because at Mincha, of course, we move from a very difficult Haftarah in the morning to the Haftarah of us doing Tshuva. Tirshu Hashem b'Yimotza. This is a great time now, the next few hours, of doing Tshuva. The Ikar Chorban is to do Tshuva. To do Tshuva for what? So we explain. The lack of relationship, of not knowing what it is to have a father, of realizing that every moment that we stumble, whether it's not being able to wake up on time, or not doing this mitzvah, or forgetting a bracha, or whatever, it's because of the lack of relationship with the closest Tashem. The reason why we go to a tzaddik for a bracha is not because of because he's got special powers. No, it's because he doesn't forget to make a bracha ever. Because it's part of his life. A friend of mine said to me that he was in Eretz Yisrael, and he was eating a meal with a very famous rabbi, and as a joke, he said to me, I hate this. I hated the meal. It's the worst meal ever. Why? This guy, every bracha he makes, this rabbi, oh my God, it takes so long. He understands the power of a bracha. We spoke about that. It's true that we can see Hashem is Hamakom Yenachem Eschem. Hamakom far away, because we feel that way sometimes. We feel like we did everything. What more can we do? We can treat our Torah and mitzvahs with simcha. We can have more kavanah, the harevna, of the sweetness. Because the only way we can bring up our children is if they see the sweetness in our lives, they'll want that sweetness. They want to imitate who we are and what we are. I know you oftentimes, as counselors probably say, when you see kids that act out, I'm sure you've said before, I can't imagine what their parents are. It's probably true. Especially when they say key phrases that clearly they never thought of themselves that came up in their parents. I can't talk to them unless I have a lawyer present. Now, where'd that come from? Nachem is a beautiful tefillah, but as Rav Soloveitchik said, it's a tefillah that gives us nechama, but a nechama over Hamakom Yenachem Eschem, of what? Of the ultimate thing we're mourning, and that's the Kavod Shamayim. The lack of those two wings of Malchuso, Kivod Malchuso in this world, and we have to be metakein that with the greatest tikkun of the Makadosh Shem Hashem. I think oftentimes this is something that becomes difficult.